This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Caroline, Uma and Ezra here on the Evening Edition, taking a look at our next story. The police have set up a new unit to monitor Malaysians who are watching porn online, especially child porn. And of course, this unit is called the Malaysia Internet Crime Against Children Investigation Unit.
Yep, that's right. So they will be locating and pinpointing in real time users who are surfing these websites and subsequently creating a data library of these individuals, which would include details on the portals that they frequent, how long they spend on these sites, the files that they upload and download, and then that would be used to prosecute any offenders.
Yeah, so obviously technology like this has existed for quite a while. Yeah. We know American security institutions like the FBI and FBI use it to monitor activity over there. It's also used to monitor terrorist activity as well.
Right.
So if you are seen to visit a known, say, ISIS site more than once, then you become, you're under a watch list of sorts, right? Mm. So yes, I mean, this technology to track individuals is there. I'm just glad it's being used now by our authorities as well.
Yeah, so the monitoring software used by this unit, apparently, according to experts, can be a good starting point to initiate investigations. So they've said that authorities would not likely conduct mass surveillance or monitor general consumers of porn, but you know, actually focusing on these specific individuals who are viewing child porn.
Yeah, so that's the thing, isn't it? So when it comes to monitoring what someone is looking at or viewing online, it's the privacy issues that creep in, and I guess just general users. At first, when this came up, we were just alarmed, perhaps at the thought that the police might be using the system to regularly monitor
right.
what they're doing online.
Well, you know, I mean, the minister did say that they're monitoring the LGBT community online, right? So, I mean, there is room for abuse,
absolutely,
even with this technology. Mm.
So, we're going to cross over now to Sharmila Sekaran, chairperson of Voice of the Children. Sharmila, thank you very much for joining us on the Evening Edition. Now, Malaysia is reported to have the highest number of consumers of child pornography in the region. In 2015, as many as 17,300 odd IP addresses involved with child porn were identified. Maybe you can talk to us first about the significance of this unit.
So prior to this unit being formed, we just had the Bukit Aman Cybercrime Unit and MCMC, the Multimedia Commission, and they were the two bodies that would either track and or take down offending websites and you know, in particular porn sites. But now with this specialized unit, they're supposed to be targeting child porn, and this is really significant and important because as a country, we have to say no to child porn. You know, it's one of the worst kinds of porn. Child porn can range from something which is quite, it's just viewing a child's body, to actual hardcore porn. And also very often it involves real children who have been violated. So if as a country we're saying no to porn, then we also have to child porn and no to child grooming and things like that, all the other offences that have come in under the SOAC, then we really need to also track those who are violating children by viewing children who have been violated so that their photos and videos can be uploaded onto the web. So to have a unit that tracks this and is able thereafter to take sanction and file charges against people, take action against such people who view child porn and participate in it, I think is really, really important.
So what were the previous methods for tracking online porn use? And will this new software that they're using dramatically increase the ability for authorities to track down perpetrators who consume child pornography?
So from what I understand about the software, it's more refined and specialized software. But also what it means is that now we can be a lot more proactive about identifying users or viewers of child porn as opposed to being reactive. So in the past, what has happened is we've chanced upon people viewing and consuming child porn or uploading child porn by accident. It's because another country's police force has informed us. It's because we've done certain searches against one individual and that's led us to other individuals. So we've had situations where, for example, you know, the Mara student in England, well, that was the UK police. We've had situations of Richard Tucker. Well, again, it's a different set of police force. It was Australia and the UK. As a nation, we've not been proactive. So we've not seen any cases that have come to court where people have been charged for possessing hardcore child porn, which have been instituted by us, our police.
So as a first unit of its kind in Malaysia, Shamla, where do you think the challenges will lie? For example, you know, so much of child pornography is embedded in the dark web. Right? Will the unit be equipped to detect porn that is exchanged on these encrypted platforms?
Absolutely. And that's the correct word. It is encrypted, in particular the dark web. But what happens on the dark web at some point does surface above ground. Of course, the other concern is where everything is going to be pushed underground into the dark web. But even so, as our officers become more equipped, are more trained, our laws are strengthened to address these issues, hopefully this team will also be able to go into the dark web and identify consumers and pick them up. Increasingly, we are seeing more and more sophisticated software being created that is able to almost pinpoint to a T the identity of the person who is viewing. Also, what they can do is it'll collect data and information over a period of time. So it won't be someone's viewing child porn now or at this particular time, let's find out who this one individual is. What they will be doing is saying, look, you know, in this particular IP address, people are viewing child porn from this time to this time on a regular basis.
Right. And Shamila, we were speaking earlier about the question of privacy. Would empowering the authorities with this sort of access and resources potentially infringe on the rights of private citizens?
You know, obviously there are going to be challenges with regards to privacy, the police in particular. How far can Big Brother view and track and tag what I'm viewing in my own home? But I think that, you know, there are certain circumstances. If a murder is committed in a home, if a husband kills a wife or a wife kills a husband, are we going to say, oh, that's a family dispute? Let them bury the spouse in the garden and let's pretend nothing happened. We don't, because it's an offence. So similarly, people have to be told and educated that there is a certain kind of porn that you absolutely cannot view and must not view, must not participate in and encourage in any way. And if you do so, then action will be taken against you. And if the police, if this team are able to identify such users and encouragers, aiders and abettors, then action must be taken against them. Because a lot of people think that when you view porn, there's no one who's hurt by it. But the reality is that there is a child who is being violated, who is being hurt. Even when it's animated, anime, you know, the Japanese manga style cartoony characters, very often it's made to look like a real child. And so even that is not acceptable to child advocates. And certainly SOAC addresses that, the Sexual Offences Against the Child Act addresses that.
Right. And what distinctions do the Sexual Offences Against Child Act make between, I guess, those who consume child pornography and sexual predators who actually exploit children in reality?
So SOAC in itself, the Sexual Offences Against the Child Act, which was passed last year, has different sections addressing both aspects of the offence. So it does address someone who gets a child to perform porn, who records it, who uploads it, who possesses it, and as well as predators who are out there who groom children, who then meet the child, who have intercourse or in some way use the child for sexual purposes and sexual gratification. All that is covered under SOAC. Obviously, we don't think SOAC goes far enough. So we are hoping that this government, the current government, will have a look at SOAC and see how it can be strengthened. But at the outset, considering the very short time that SOAC was thought about and conceived and then passed, you know, it's a very strong act. It's a good act. And it's certainly one that we can use quite strongly against child porn. And like I said, both sides, people who just view it, as well as people who make it, who upload it, who distribute it, all aspects of child porn is covered in SOAC.
Right. Shamla, pivoting away slightly, the news of the specialised unit has reiterated the fact that all types of porn are technically illegal. So I guess the most important question for the evening, does this then put at risk the probably millions of Malaysians who consume regular porn?
From a child activist and a human rights perspective, I really don't think that they should utilize the software for that purpose. I mean, the whole idea is that children need to be protected. And we have a duty and responsibility to protect children. If you have software that can be used to do that, then we should use it. Child porn and watching any other kind of porn is very, very different, and we cannot treat it the same. We have to draw a distinction between the two. By all means, engage in the dialogue and the discourse of the rights and wrongs and morality and immorality and, you know, all that kind of thing of porn itself and viewing porn. But child porn is very specific and needs to be dealt with separately.
Well, Shamila, thank you very much for joining us on the Evening Edition. That was Shamila Sekaran, chairperson of Voice of the Children, with her thoughts on the formation of a special police force to track and investigate consumers of child porn.
Yeah, and it feels like that distinction she made is important, right? I think I remember when the Richard Huckle case happened and we had a talkback, and it was one of the most appalling talkbacks because people could not make that distinction between child porn, regular porn, the LGBT community. They kind of conflated all of these things together.
Right.
And
I wonder whether that's still the case, though.
I mean, I hope not.
My bet is that it kind of still is the case.
We've had like 2 years of talking about this in education and the Sexual Offences Act.
Not so easy.
Well, the reason is, as even, you know, in the discussion of the LGBT issue that we've seen recently with the Georgetown Festival, the same sort of issues, or at least the packaging of those issues, it's been similar, right?
And I can never make out whether individuals genuinely believe that this conflation is real or whether they're just doing it to push an ideological argument.
Well, I think you have both types. I think you have the type who are well aware of what it is they're doing and pushing the ideological argument, as well as those who are
the
truly
true believers.
Unaware. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Folks, we'll be right back after this on the Evening Edition. It's BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.